Good evening. Our reading tonight is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. Last month we read from Ruth, chapter 1. And from that chapter, really picked out three lessons for us today. And the first is this, that at all times, including and especially in times of crisis, we should turn to God's Word. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shines in the darkness. It shows us which way we should go. The importance of God's Word. Second lesson we learned was that at all times in life, and especially in times of crisis, we should remember that our God is the Lord. Of course, the Lord is the covenant name of our God given to his people. We are one with him in covenant. He is going to mind us. He is going to take care of us. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. We are his people. He is our God. What happens to us affects him. He puts his riches at our disposal. When we need wisdom, we turn to him, the all-wise God. When we feel weak, we find our strength in him. So at times of crisis, we especially remember God's word. We turn to it and we seek his face. And we remember who he is. He is the Lord. We also are encouraged to remember who we are. We are his people. We are those who belong to him. So we glean those three lessons there from chapter 1. Now we come to chapter 2. I'd like just to leave you with three lessons, three points from this chapter as well, but read the chapter first. Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that were set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and drink thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, O blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, the three points I want to make from this wonderful story, chapter 2, this delightful book of Ruth. The first point is this, that God is the Lord of creation. We ended chapter 1 with these words. They returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That time of the year after the sowing, the planting and the growth, and now it is time of harvest. And remember, the story is set in a time of famine. There was famine in the land, that's why they went to Moab in the first place. Now they had heard that there was bread in the house of bread in Bethlehem, and they had returned to Bethlehem at the time of barley harvest. And we're reminded of, in this story set in harvest time, of the cycle of the seasons. Remember that promise made to Noah, wasn't it? He said, as the earth remaineth. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat shall not fail. And we're reminded that our God is our creator. He is the great creator of all things. He is the one who set the world in space. The one who created everything according to those wonderful accounts in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. And it was lovely to read, to sing that psalm tonight, Psalm 104. Bless God my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art exceeding great. With honor and with majesty, thou clothed art in state. With light as with a robe thyself, thou coverest about, and like unto a curtain, the heavens, thou the heavens stretchest out. the majesty and the glory of our God. He is the God who stretched out the heavens. He is the God who created all things, who set the stars in their orbits, in their motions. He is the one who created it all. We're going through very eventful times, aren't we? There seems to be a lot of things happening. And one of the things that happened last week, I don't know if you saw it on the television, was that planet Venus traversing across the sun. And they said the next time this happens now will be in 105 years' time. Man said, well, we won't see it again. Well, it's amazing. And they are confident in their prediction that it will happen in 105 years' time because this creation is so precise and so wonderful. Amen. You know, like if this planet on which we live, this planet Earth, scientists tell us like that if it was, it's at an angle, isn't it? It rotates. And the globe itself is at an angle like this. And if it was just a little bit more like that, we would just burn up. And if it was a little bit this way, we would freeze. And the measurements are kind of precise. The distances are precise. If we were a little bit this way, everything would go haywire. If we were a little bit that way, everything would be catastrophic. It's just in the right place. And then when we come to the scenery all around us, I went over to, we had friends staying for the weekend, so I went down to Glendalough, and we went walking in Glendalough and the Wicklow Mountains, and like it's marvellous, just to look out and see God's handiwork. And I was reminded, we were talking about the mountains, you know, and the mountains, according to man's calculations, like the mountains should sink. But God in his great design, the density at the foot of the mountain is so strong that it keeps the whole mountain there. Isn't that amazing? I can't explain it because I'm not a scientist. But they were saying, like, you know, everything seems to be perfectly designed. And we're not surprised at that, are we? Because God is the creator. Who of his chambers doth the beams within the waters lay? Who doth the clouds his chariots make, on wings of wind make way? Who flaming fire his ministers, his angel spirits doth make? Who earth's foundations did lay, that it should never shake? Thou didst it cover with the deep, as with a garment spread. The water stood above the hills when thou the word but said.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Amen. He who, and Job, I think it's Job, talks about, yeah, you know, the world is hanging on nothing. he got hold of, like, the of course it's inspired, and God is showing us this information. The wonders of his creation. And when we come to this story, and they come at the time of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest that followed, and we are reminded that God is, our God is the Lord of all creation. How wonderful it is to call him through Christ and through the finished work of the cross. Isn't it amazing that God of all creation is our Father through faith in him. We belong to the one who made us. I'm thinking of that other glorious psalm, Psalm 100. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Rightfully let us enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Oh, how wonderful is our God. God of creation. And the second point is this: not only is he the Lord of creation, but he is the Lord of providence. He created it all. And he holds it all together. Every single little thing. It is all planned by him. And he takes care of every little detail. I want to draw your attention to the verse where it says, verse 3. And Ruth, went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech, who was her kinsman. I ask you a question tonight, just think about it. Do you think it was coincidence that Ruth just happened to go to the field belonging to Boaz? No. It wasn't just a stroke of what people say. It was a stroke of luck. It wasn't a lucky break. This was part of God's perfect plan. It was part of his providential care that Ruth found herself in the field that belonged to her kinsman, Boaz. And I'm sure you know the rest of the story and how it unfolded. This was no chance happening. This was God's careful planning. That she went to the field belonging to Boaz, the one who was to be her kinsman redeemer. And the wonderful things that proceeded from that. This was God in control. This was God overruling. This was God leading. I remember once speaking to a class in assembly in a quite a big school, and I took with me a coil that was sort of bound up like this, because you know some people believe, right, that this world is just like a coiled up spring like that, and it's just slowly uncoiling until it gets to the point where it's fully uncoiled and then it'll stop. And some people really believe that. Some people believe that this world and this life is all about like the throw of a dice. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. The future's not out to see. Okay, sarah, sarah. And some people believe that. Some people think it's to do with the stars and the alignment of the stars. And when the stars are in a certain, certain things will happen, whether it's for good or bad. These are how some people interpret life. But when we come to the scriptures and we can depend on this, surely, that life isn't a throw of a dice. Life isn't a pent-up coil that's just unwinding, tick-tocking, and one day it'll be all over. Life isn't to chance or the alignment of the stars. Life is in control of a sovereign Lord, the one who works out all things, as Ephesians chapter 1 Lem says, who, a beautiful verse, who works out all things after the counsel of his own will. And as Hebrews reminded us, he is the one who created all things and is bringing everything, sustaining it, holding it all together, but it's a dynamic thing. He's holding it and he is bringing it to the purpose that he has planned for it. And nothing but nothing and nothing will interrupt what God is doing. Mm-hmm. It's irresistible. Our God is irresistible. He is the God of providence. And scripture is full of lovely illustrations so that we will get the message that our God is in control and we can trust him. We can put our hand in his, as it were, and say, we will walk humbly with our God and we will delight in the things that he delights. We will love mercy. We will do what is right and we will follow our God because he is God and he is in control and I can trust him implicitly. I like to think of the story when Joseph was in the well. Remember, he's in the well. And at that time, those days, those moments, however long it was, when he was down in that dried up well, it happened. It just happened that a caravan of Ishmaelites passed by. And the brother said, "Oh, let's sell him. Sell him to these Ishmaelites. We can't leave him here. We'll sell him." And how that story unfolded. Remember, there was again famine in the land. And they said, "Oh, but we heard there's bread in Egypt." And you know the story of what happened to Joseph. We haven't got time to go into it. But like, here he is, he's in the well, and it just happened that the Ishmaelites passed by. Or read the story of the book of Esther, where it seems as if the whole Jewish people are going to be wiped out. And there's the king in his bed, and he's tossing and he's turning, and he can't sleep that night. And he called his servant and he said, "Oh, I can't sleep at all tonight. Bring me a book. Let me read something." And he brought him a book. And what did he bring? He brought him a book of history of the nation. And where did he turn? He just happened to turn to the page where it was talked about Mordecai and the plot to kill the king. And the king called his servant. He said, "Listen, what was done for Mordecai in recognition of this great thing that he did?" "Well, I don't know." And then as he was speaking, it just happened. It just happened that Haman, the one who was the instigator of this plot to wipe out the Jews, it just happened that he was walking by. So he called, he said, "Who's that walking out there?" "Oh, Haman, my lord. Call him in." And Haman comes in. And he says, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honour?" And Haman, thinking to himself, because he's that kind of person, he said, "Well, you put the best robes on him, and you put him on the king's horse, and you parade him through the streets." "Great," he said. Now go and fetch Mordecai." It just happened. No. These are not just chance events. This is our God in control of things. Isn't it delightful? Our God. And listen, we can take that to heart ourselves. That God doesn't just create things and then just leave them to unwind. Oh, you make your own way now, make the best you can of it. Here's a God who's involved and sustaining and caring and providing. And he's providing for Ruth in this story. And he provided for those in need. And he provided for the poor. And he gave laws concerning those who were really up against it. And he said to those who had, he said, "Listen, when you go into your fields and when you're reaping the harvest, now remember those who do not have. And I don't want you going into the corners of the field. You leave the corners of the field for those who are poor and the strangers. And when you reap in and you're going through the field and you're working through the field, I don't want you to be turning around and going back for the bits you've left over. Leave those for those who are poor and those who are aliens and those who are strangers in your land. You leave it." And he's the God who provides. He's the God who cares for his people. He's the God of providence. Wonderful. And a God who just doesn't provide meagerly, but a God who provides generously for his people. His eye is always on them. Isn't that right? Amen. He's always watching over them. And he says, as the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, he says, "Why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my helper. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." He is the God who cares. He's the God who provides. He's the God who watches over us. And then lastly, of course, he's the God of creation. He's the God of providence. He's the God of salvation. And we see this beautiful picture of the salvation in this story, how he saves this family and brings them into such blessing and goodness. And I want to look at this man Boaz as we close tonight. Just let's think about him. Verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, and listen how he's described, a mighty man of wealth. And of course, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to redeem us. He is our kinsman redeemer. Boaz is just a little picture of our Saviour. And Boaz is described as a mighty man of wealth. Another translation would have it, a man of great standing. And when we talk about our salvation, we have a Saviour who is a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man, a man of great standing. Here is the one who is above all things and all people. Here is the one who is sovereign Lord of everything. Boaz is just a pale, pale picture of our Saviour. A mighty man of wealth. And yet this Boaz, he came to the field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem to the field and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered. And the amazing thing about it is that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of great standing, the Lord of all things, sovereign Lord, the creator and sustainer of all things, came to where we were. Became one of us. Came to meet our needs. And when we look at this man Boaz, he provided for her immediate needs. Provision and rest, refreshment. He provided for those needs. But what is more, he goes more. He does more than that. He goes further. And look at those verses in verses 14 to 16. At Boaz, and Boaz said to her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, which was a real luxury, a real treat. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves. It would be like the law provided that she might go after the reapers and glean amongst those bits that are dropped. But now he says, I want you, let her come right in amongst the sheaves and reproach her not. And then he says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Isn't it, this Boaz is a wonderful man. So benevolent, so kind, so generous. The law just required that he allowed the stranger to come into the field and glean in the corners and glean in the bits left over. But now what does Boaz do? He goes beyond that. He says, no. When you are reaping now, as you are going along reaping the sheaves, what I want you to do is this. Pull out handfuls and just leave them for her. Just pull out handfuls on purpose. Handfuls of purpose, they are called. And just leave them for Ruth. He's a man, isn't he? Wonderful. So generous. So gracious. So giving. Out of his fullness, he is giving and giving and giving. To this Moabitess. Traditionally an enemy of Israel. They were told not to have anything to do. Far away, outside of Israel, outside of the covenants of promise. Strangers. But now, Boaz is saying, I want you to pull out handfuls of purpose for Ruth. Doesn't it remind us of what God has done for us in Christ? We too were strangers. Far away from God. outside of those promises and covenants, as Ephesians reminds us, far away from him. But because of his great love for us, he has saved us, and it's all, like, Ruth couldn't do this. This is all Boaz is doing. It's Boaz, it's the grace of Boaz, it's the goodness of Boaz is working this out. And we couldn't do anything. We were helpless. But God, in his great grace and mercy, has given to us one blessing after another in Christ. He has pulled out handfuls of blessing on purpose for his people. One thing after another. We are ransomed, we are healed, we are restored, we are forgiven, we are adopted into his family. We have an inheritance in heaven that is reserved for us. We will one day rule and reign with him. We will be with him. We will be like him. We share in that eternal life. We are saved from the wrath to come. It's you, when you think about it, where do you stop? You all the time you are thinking of new blessings that he has bestowed upon us. It's wonderful. And what does Boaz say? Ruth, I'm pulling handfuls of purpose out. Now, Ruth, I want you to stay close to me. Stay close to my maidens. Stay close to my reapers. In other words, you stay close to me. Be loyal, Ruth. Don't be tempted now. When you look over into the next field, no doubt there'll be things in there that you might be tempted to think, oh, that's nice. I don't want you straying off into another field, Ruth. You stay close by me, and you will be blessed. Your loyalty is what I require, and I will mind you. I will bless you, and I will bring you through. And as God saying to us, now look, for those tonight who are his, he's saying, I want you, stay true, right? Carry on the work. Carry on working in the field. Don't be distracted now by the things that are happening all around you. Keep your eye on the goal. Stay close to me. And I look after the details and I will bless you. And as we read through the story, isn't that what happened? The conclusion of the story is, Boaz was true to his word. He did not rest until he'd accomplished all that he had planned. And when we come to the end of our story, we will look back and we will say with deep gratitude and thanksgiving, ah, he did not rest. He was true to his word and everything he promised came true. Praise his holy name. Amen.
Well, just in closing, we'll sing together from Psalm 117. And especially the second verse, for great to us whatever are his loving kindnesses, his truth endures forevermore. The Lord, oh, do ye bless. We'll stand to sing Psalm 117 and we'll remain standing for closing prayer.
Oh, give ye praise unto the Lord, all nations that be. Likewise, ye people all accord, his name to magnify. His name to magnify. For great to us whatever.
you, Lord, for the tremendous lesson that we have learned from your word this night. And, oh Lord, that we would never forget that it's in staying close to you all our blessings are found. May we never stray this night or any other night. Lord, keep us close to yourself. Sustain us and persevere us, Lord, till the end. Preserve us in that relationship that is so good for us, so beneficial to our souls. Lord, we give you thanks for the refreshment that we shall receive in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. The communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.